public, you're welcome. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-50, Trap Investments LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Little Creek 100, Sussex County. Body abiding 57.8 acres in the 49 lots, located south of Road 449, 3,100 feet east of Road 463. The TAC report of March 21st of this year will be made a part of the record. We received a letter of no objection from DelDOT in reference to the entrance location on July 5th of this year. On the 18th of this month, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Each of you has received a copy of that along with the revised preliminary plan. They'll both be made a part of the record. And on the 18th, I received a letter from Mr. Robertson addressing the restrictive covenants. That'll be made a part of the record. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And I believe it's Mr. Murray again.
Good evening. Still John Murray with Kircher Engineering. Representing Trap Investments LLC. For an application for a single-family home subdivision, which would be known as South Trap Haven. South Trap Haven is a 57.8-acre parcel on which our client is proposing 49 single-family dwellings. The property is located along Sussex County Road 449, known as Trap Pond Road. The development is approximately, it's actually less than a quarter mile actually away from Trap Pond State Park. This project also would have a provision for individual lot wells and individual lot septics for all the lots contained within. Within the parcel, there are 6.4 acres of either passive active open space or stormwater management areas. And if I may point out, and in a way this is different from the last project that was presented, you'll see that there are three designated individual stormwater management areas that have been set aside. So the bulk of the open space, 3.95 acres, being encompassed by Heron Drive, is anticipated that that area would truly be open space and would not have any type of stormwater management facility made a part of. As Mr. Abbott had mentioned, this plan has been modified from what was initially submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission for review. Namely, along the southern and eastern property boundary, it was required that we provide a 30-foot forested buffer. Those properties adjacent to the southern and eastern property boundary are actively being used for agricultural purposes. Also, in obtaining the letter of no objection from DelDOT, again, we were required to provide a right-of-way dedication for any future roadway expansion. We were required to provide a 15-foot-wide permanent easement for a multi-use path. We were also required to provide an interconnection, a future interconnection, to the lands being shown of Dana and Audrey Moore in South's property. We haven't researched that to find exactly why, whether there may be a pending application for that project or if there was an approval for that project, but there was a required interconnection. As was also mentioned, the Delaware Department of Transportation did issue their letter of no objection, which was dated June 26, 2007. A wetland delineation, or I should say investigation, was performed on this property by JCM Environmental. The results of their investigation found there were no state or federal wetlands located on the property. JCM Environmental also conducted the feasibility study for this project. The feasibility study has been submitted to Deneric for the review, but the non-binding feasibility statement is still pending. As with the previous packet that was submitted, if you look under Appendix 2, again, page 2 shows the location of this project in proximity to a couple adjacent developments. Cypress at Trussum Pond was a subdivision that was recently approved by the Planning Commission within the last, I believe, 3 months. Woods at Trap Pond is an existing development. Granted, I believe from the zoning map, the Woods at Trap Pond is not zoned AR1. I believe it's GR. And you can also see the development's proximity to Trap Pond State Park, which has quite a few amenities. So it would make something of a nice feature within the vicinity that, if approved and developed, homeowners within the community could utilize. The covenants restrictions for the community have been established. The only provision for homes of this time was that any home would have to be a minimum 1,600 square feet in livable area. And that, again, all homes within the community would be required to be stick-built. There would be no modular homes, no double wides allowed. There are already some single-family homes located in areas where minor subdivisions were created. The homes that are on those lots were also established by Trap Investments LLC. That is one of the reasons why stick-built homes are only going to be allowed. When those minor subdivisions were established, the same covenants and restrictions as submitted were used for those homes, so they will be in character with the existing homes that are there now. That is all that I have in terms of presentation. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
All right, then.
So you stated that the changes that you made were due to the TAC comments mostly?
Correct. TAC comments and comments that the DLDOT had as part of the letter of no objection application.
And you did state that there's no wetlands on site?
Correct. And actually, you can, if you look in your booklet, under Appendix 4, you'll see that there's the letter of no objection from DLDOT, and directly behind that, you'll see a copy of JCM Environmental's wetland investigation report.
Right.
And let's see. And actually, in the first page behind the table of comments, under their summary, which is identified as page 1, paragraph 3, field investigations and data collections conducted during this delineation concluded that no wetlands or waters of the U.S. were present within the boundary of the subject property.
In the stormwater, go over that again. You're stating on the project summary that's 6.4 acres, but
it's
saying the active or passive open space is not included.
No, it is. It is in the buffer areas as well. What I was stating was that on the previous plan that was presented this evening, there was a single area for passive open space and or stormwater management. On this plan, there are three individual stormwater management areas that have been set aside in this location here, and down at the corner of the property here. So it is anticipated that any stormwater management features, if approval is granted and we were to move that far forward, would be located in those areas. The active passive open space that's encompassed by Heron Drive anticipated that it would be just that. It would be either active or passive open space.
Okay.
But so that it would not, there would be no stormwater management facility planned for that area.
For that area there. So you think you got enough with the other three?
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Robertson, does the restrictive covenants address the ag notice?
No, actually, and since you've asked, my comments on this one are the same as the other one, okay. Where it needs the establishment of a homeowners association for the perpetual maintenance of the streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management and erosion and sedimentation control facilities and other common areas. It needs the ag notice, it would have needed the wetlands disclosure if there was any.
Okay. And also, I know there's hunting in that area. Would you be receptive to putting a hunting notice in the restrictive covenants?
I don't think our client would object to doing that at all.
Addressing the entrance, is there a house across from the entrance now, at the proposed entrance?
No, there is not.
Okay.
But the property itself is actually divided by the county road. So this property here that you see that's listed as the Lands of Trap Investments here, directly across the street, is not an actual residential dwelling. In fact, that is an area that is a portion of an application that is yet to be heard by the commission.
Because I'd say there'd be an issue of headlights if there was a vehicle, a house there.
Right. That is actually a portion of the property on the other side of the road. Again, it is
yeah, I understand
a
understand that, but right.
But there would not be a home in that location.
And is there sufficient room along the entrance to have a bus stop, if so needed?
Yes, there are a couple. If you look at the plan. The right-of-way in this area is actually 100 feet wide rather than 50 feet wide. We've left two small open spaces adjacent to where the entrance would be, so there would be sufficient space to place a covered shelter.
Are you proposing sidewalks?
There are no sidewalks that were planned for this community.
How about streetlights?
As I discussed with our client, the applicant, on previous submittals, they have requested to leave the issue of streetlights in terms of their provision to the Homeowners Association. They said that they found that in previous developments they've established, there are situations where they place streetlights, and for one reason or another, someone purchased a property with the idea that they would be, quote unquote, away from city lights and have a nice view of the country, and was disturbed by streetlights, so that they would propose to leave that up to the Homeowners Association that would be established.
And the septic, you say you don't have the septic feasibility yet?
Correct, it's pending.
Which the preliminaries show as far as what type of?
Right now it's a mix of gravity and LPP engineered systems. There are no sand mounds anticipated for this property.
All right. That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
I didn't have any questions until that comment, but you're saying that given this series of soils that you have, that you can get gravity systems in these Kenansville and
there are some gravity systems that we have throughout the community. There's nothing that we found that's any if I want to use the term getting away from a gravity system, anything different than an engineered LPP type system. There are no mounds anticipated for this community.
All right, that's it for me, sir.
All right, sir. Mr. Jones.
Well, again, Mr. Murray, thank you for giving us a presentation booklet. It certainly makes your presentation more concise. Why 49 lots? Why not 50 or more?
The original plan that we had actually prepared working with the developer was somewhat of a max density plan. The original plan that we had actually prepared, I believe we had 66 lots that were shown on the property. But in terms of marketability, in terms of being able to make some of the homes, the lots a little larger than what they were planned for, and to provide some open space, that was the reasoning for going with the 49 lots. The area that is encompassed by Dove Way, and here you can see that a lot of those lots are quite a bit above the minimum square footage required. A lot of the lots in that area in previous design, where they were minimum 100 feet wide, and our client just felt from a marketability standpoint they wanted a larger lot, they wanted more open space, and that's what the plan that you have before you hopes to provide.
And what consideration or explorations have there been of central sewer for this development, given its proximity to Trap Pond and the sensitive ecological areas?
There haven't, at this time, we have not entered into any sort of discussion with either, an artesian or Tidewater about a central collection facility. The county, as I know it, does not have any type of collection system within a couple miles of this development. But that's not something that we've entered into discussions with.
And what impact would you anticipate having 49 septic systems that close to Trap Pond, and again that whole nature reserve area?
Well, I mean, there are a couple communities that are in this area already, and many single-family lots. I personally don't make a profession of designing any sort of septic systems, but I do know that, at least from what they say, by the time a septic system is done treating the effluent, they claim it's drinkable water. I wouldn't want to investigate that, but that's Denmark's claim based on the designs. So I would think, with that being said, that if approval is granted and we were to move that far forward, that of course, even though the feasibility study has been done for the site, there would still have to be individual investigations done for each and individual lot and each individual dwelling that would be placed within the community would have to have a septic system that's designed and meets Denerec's criteria for, which is rather strict. So I wouldn't think that it would have an adverse impact on the local ecosystem.
And did I hear you say you're not planning streetlights because of the Roar area, or
it's something that we actually discussed with a client before this presentation. They had mentioned that in previous projects that had obtained preliminary approval that they had developed, there was a mix. They had done projects where there were streetlights. They had done projects where there were not streetlights, and in both circumstances, they had people who had invested purchased properties who were either for or against it. So in the final draft covenants and restrictions, if we get that far, what they would like to do is make the provision in those covenants and restrictions that it would be up to basically a vote by the homeowners association to determine whether or not streetlights would be placed in the community or not. And as I've been told, the reason for that is that many times when you have a development such as this, it's just away from any type of city lights. For example, if you have a clear evening, you have a pretty nice view. If you incorporate streetlights, some of the homeowners don't like the fact of the placement of a streetlight. It's too close to their home. They wanted to enjoy the scenery rather than have the streetlights affecting that. So that's the reason why they'd like to propose to leave it up to the homeowners association to determine whether or not streetlights would be placed within the community.
And did I hear talk of any kind of pedestrian travel, or whether it's through multi-use paths or sidewalks, or
well, there would have to be as part of the letter of no objection application, and as a condition to get approval, we were required by DelDOT to provide a 15-foot wide permanent easement across the entire property frontage. So it starts from our westernmost extents and runs clear across the property. And that is something where if we are moved past this,
sidewalks to nowhere.
DelDOT's plan ultimately is that as they have no control over the existing properties in terms of if they go out and privately acquire right-of-way to place such a walking path, then they can do that. If something comes before them such as this and they have the opportunity to make that comment, then they can do that. So then at least their plan for a pedestrian interconnection down the roadways is there.
I understand that part.
I'm more concerned
about the pedestrian travel inside your development. If you have a family living in lot 15 and they have children that are headed to the school bus stop, how are they going to get there?
Well, I would think that their mode of travel would be either along the roads. I mean, there'd be sufficient shoulder, there'd be an 8-foot shoulder from the edge of pavement, or if the conditions permit, I would think that, you know, a parent would drop them off at the bus stop.
So between the road and the residences, are there going to be swales, or what are you anticipating?
Well, there would be swales. The swales would be approximately 3 feet from the edge of the right-of-way. The edge of pavement is 10 feet wide, so that leaves you with an extra 12 feet from your edge of pavement to your actual swale itself. So there would actually be area in there where at least there would be room off of the paved surface outside of any sort of stormwater conveyance where one could safely travel to any destination within the community.
Or one could safely build a sidewalk?
It would be possible, I guess, to get long-winded. I know this is something that was asked previously, but one thing that was brought up before is it makes it difficult with sidewalks in terms of the design. The roadway design, at least, is the approved county roadway cross section. the concern in a development such as this is if you have swales. Swales act primarily for water quality and helping treat water runoff before it would even get to a stormwater management facility. If you put a sidewalk or a walkway off of the roadway and don't have any sort of break in between the travel surface and the walking path, such as, say, a curb, then you run into a safety hazard in that if you run into conditions such as we're in now, where the weather can dip below freezing, if you have water that would run across that roadway, across that walking path and freeze, then someone could fall and injure themselves. I wouldn't think that the client would object in any way in terms of where the passive and active open space is to providing some type of natural walking service interconnection within that area for the enjoyment of the community within that area.
But as I understand it, looking at your proposed lots, it looks like many of them are perhaps greater than 3/4 acre, so perhaps there might be some give and take on some yardage for some safe pedestrian travel. Just comment. Thank you. No further questions.
All right, sir.
Are there plan for any landscape buffering between the lots that are out on the county road and the proposed development?
You're referring to adjacent to, say, lots 8 through 12?
Yes.
Here? There's no plan at this time. The buffer areas, of course, as shown, would be required to be landscaped. And the buffers, of course, the landscaping is typically required between, you know, the residential property and a property being used for agriculture. I could check with our client, but I don't necessarily think that they would object to possibly creating an easement along that area for screening from those lots that were created as part of the minor subdivision and the major subdivision.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Council?
Just one issue. In looking at the wetlands report, there's an aerial photograph included in there, and in the I guess it would be the southeastern corner, there's a small wetland area, not wetland area, but small forest area that for whatever reason was not farmed, was not cut down, but is, according to the aerial photograph, at least part of the same forest makeup that would include Trap Pond. I'm just curious why you didn't design around that to protect it so that and use some of your open space in that area instead of putting lots and roads in the only forested part of your site.
I would think it's a possibility. Again, there's no design has been done yet. The target areas for stormwater management area were simply areas that we kind of scattered throughout the community to try to handle the stormwater management. But as you can see with the areas that are provided, those areas are greater than the minimum acreage or square footage, I should say, required. So I could check with our client to find out if they would object to relocating those lots. Of course, a portion of those woods would be preserved in those forested buffer areas. But I think that there would be an opportunity to investigate possibly relocating a couple of those lots and swapping out a couple of the stormwater management areas for those lots.
Where's your natural outfall for the property?
There's actually a drainage ditch that's located off of the northwest property boundary down in this area, and that would be ultimately where the outfall would be.
So, thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott?
The questions.
Council?
No questions on this one, aside from, again, those comments about the restricted covenants.
All right, then, sir. We thank you. If you stand aside for a moment, we'll see if anybody has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-50 Trap Investments LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-50?
Yes.
Okay. All right, one at a time. We'll take you first. You're closest, and you'll be next in the back there, okay?
My name's Wayne Hudson of Laurel, speaking on behalf of my parents, Norris T. Hudson and Betty J. Hudson.
Uh-huh.
They own the adjoining property.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, show us what you're talking about.
I think this is the adjoining property to the development here.
Okay.
I'm not speaking so much as on opposition as I am speaking on clarification.
All right. We'll see if we can be of any help to you.
The buffer zone that's being identified along that property, my parents have owned that property for 48 years, and 46 of those they've been poultry producers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two poultry houses that have their tunnel fans and feed bins adjoining that property line, which is approximately 75 feet from that line.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to be a good neighbor when the development comes, the people that purchase these homes are going to be listening to feed trucks delivering feed every 3 days, every 8 weeks when they come to catch chickens. You'll hear the fans running. And I'm just questioning whether the 30-foot buffer is going to be enough. And then also question, was the buffer going to be of some type of evergreen trees so that it would provide year-round foliage in there? That was my only concern.
We'll try to get an answer to your question here for you. What I can tell you is that your parents were there first. Delaware is a right to farm state, and
we just want to be a good neighbor.
And I appreciate you wanting to be a good neighbor, but I don't think you want to relocate your chicken houses.
No.
Okay, so they know the chicken houses are there. They're willing to deal with that, and they'll have to, frankly. Now, as far as the vegetation in the buffer. Was there anything else you wanted to know?
I guess, is there any setback from the side properties? In some cases, there is a required setback from a property line, and does the buffer start at the setback, or does it start at the property line?
The buffer...
Under the current ordinance, it would start at the property line.
At the property line. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
50 feet, right? Yeah.
All right. Okay. Take a seat. Now, Mr. Murray, can you address the man's concern about the vegetation in the buffered area?
Well, as been mentioned, shown on the aerial photograph, mm-hmm. A portion of that area, a good portion of that corner, is existing woods now. So the tree stand, at least it's there now, in that buffer area, those trees would not be cleared within that 30 feet.
Right.
So in terms of the vegetation, what's there and what's within that 30 feet would remain. In terms of the buffer area planned for the remainder of where the buffer would be placed along their family's land,
They're subject to the new ordinance anyway, aren't they?
Not been adopted.
Oh, not adopted. Okay.
But the commission's been typically requiring, as part of final site plan, a landscape plan now. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. I was actually about to mention that. I wasn't sure if the landscape plan had been adopted yet, but I do know that we've been required recently to provide an actual landscaping plan.
Okay.
So wherever there's not vegetation now... there would be vegetation at a minimum evergreen, and I believe that there's been a mix requested of evergreen and hardwood.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, sir, you in the back there? There we go.
Good evening. My name's Eric Johansson. I live on Wooten Road. And it's they're general comments I want to make to everybody so everybody can hear them. In the last two meetings, I've heard proposals of approximately 75 new homes between Wooten Road and over there by Trap Pond, which would include 75 approximately new septic systems, which is getting to be a problem, I believe, in the area, kind of overcrowded. Not only that, I'm really concerned with some traffic through there. There's a lot of agricultural equipment still going through there from the Hudsons and some other folks up there. There's a very nasty S-turn in the area right there on Hitch Pond Road, and I'm very concerned about the traffic also in that area with 75 possible new homes. That's got to be at least 125 automobiles. So that's is going to be a problem also as I'm looking down the road. It seems like down here that they try to put so much on so little. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I don't remember anything too much like what you're trying to do here in such a short period of time.
Did you ever live in Lancaster County?
Oh, I've been through it. I lived on Hell of a Hill in Glen Mills.
What was the name of it?
Hell of a Hill.
Hell of a Hill.
All
right. I thought I heard you right. I wasn't sure.
A couple hundred year old home at the top of a hill, and it was aptly named. But I am pretty concerned as to how much building we're doing and proposing to do. It seems like it's getting awful crowded, and it's very worrisome. Like I say, they're just general comments. I'm not upset with anybody or anything. I just wanted them noted.
Okay.
And I'll be following through to see what happens. It's
right.
Not a threat. That's just
stay tuned.
Something
stay
that's
tuned.
Going on. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
I appreciate
yes, sir. We appreciate your comments. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Step right up.
My name is Lee Collins. I live on Wooten Road, and my wife and myself operate a small family farm. Land that was her dad's uncle's joins up on East Trap Pond Road to this. We have concerns with being able to get our machinery into a 1.7 acre field that is landlocked off of Wooten Road. Her uncle was using an access off of East Trap Pond Road across the ditch. And we're unable to find out what happened to the tile or to the access to the field to get our equipment in and out. We have concerns about the traffic. We have concerns about we grow vegetables using an airplane to spray. We would like to be on the record stating that we farm. We do move equipment up and down the roads. We have airplanes. I do run some swine. I spread manure. We would just like to be upfront about that, but we do have some concerns with trying to get our stuff in and out around this development.
All right, sir. Well, we appreciate your concerns, and as I mentioned to the gentleman earlier, you were there first. Those folks have to live with those activities, but I know that's beside the point. I understand about the traffic and so on, and we certainly will take that into consideration.
Can he show us where?
You want to show us? Can you show us where you're?
Yeah, we were at the FSA office in Georgetown the other day, and it's believe it would be along this side from the Wright farm, and it joins up in the woods. There used to be a culvert along the ditch here that took us to the 1.7 acre field.
How's it deeded?
Is it on the other? No, I mean,
how is it?
Hutchins on the right side.
Oh, I'm sorry then.
Yeah, so you're on this side.
Forgive me. Yeah, we're just trying to figure out what's our access to get to that field, because Harm Darman owned the field and he had deeded it to my wife's aunt in 2001, and she owns it, and we're unable to find out how we're supposed to get into the field. We were told that there was access off of that ditch there to get through the woods to our field.
Yeah, that would probably be something you would need to have an attorney research the deed and determine, because you can't sell a piece of land without access to a public road. So
yeah,
there's got to be something somewhere. So probably going to need a lawyer to figure it out, though. You look around Georgetown, you might find one or two.
I'm sure I can find one or two, yes. But that's the thing. We're just concerned about being, you know, infringing upon our way of life. We enjoy farming. We enjoy the country lifestyle, and we're just...
And you want to continue to do
that? That's exactly right. We want to continue the way that we are. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Anybody else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.